Hello and welcome to Put an H Minisode.
Yeah, I got that.
And we're back in Andy's wrestling corner.
You didn't alert me to this point that you're drinking.
Oh yeah, it's a fresh pint. I was drinking a different pint earlier on.
Okay.
So it's a fresh beer, but because the bottle, you know, I cracked it off mic because quite frankly, it doesn't have the same
interruptive qualities
as a can. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
As obnoxiously tapping at the top of a can.
So this is an O'Hara's Haze IPA, White Haze IPA.
How are they spelling Haze?
H-A-Z-E.
Okay.
Wait, do you think they would spell it H-A-I-S-E or something?
I didn't know if it was the name Haze, H-A-Y-S.
Oh, that would have been obnoxious, I have to say.
How was it taste?
Yeah, pretty good. Although I'm not a huge fan of O'Hara's.
That, yeah. Folks, just so you know, if you don't know Terry as well as I do, he fucking hates it.
It has a bit of an aftertaste kick. The first bit was nice.
An oaky afterbirth?
I don't know what it is. But the other one I was drinking earlier on was a Trouble Brewing Sabotage IPA. And that was very tasty.
Yeah. Well, that's not here now, so you can't review that. You can only review the one that's here.
I could do whatever the hell
I'll edit that out. But they're not getting two reviews. Anyway.
So we're here and we're back talking about the WWF in 2001.
Current.
Andy's wrestling regression, as we like to call it.
Yeah, you know.
In the office.
Just the name me and the guys have been kicking around the office.
We're
taking a little bit of a break in between season 6 and season 7 of The Simpsons. So we'll be back next week with
Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2.
But for the minute, while we're at home, we can't record in the studio because of various reasons, mostly involving myself being an idiot.
If you're listening to the Patreon, you get the full story.
So we have to do it remotely again. So that'll be coming next week. But
now, in fairness, last week was my fault. I was unavailable to go into the office.
Terry, I leapt on the opportunity.
like Captain America, you jumped on that grenade.
Well, like someone.
Sorry,
better.
Wrong podcast. So many going on.
But this week we're chatting more 2001 wrestling
and Stone Cold Steve Austin's descent into insanity. It's SummerSlam 2001.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
I tell you, what a tune.
I knew you'd be all over that.
I love it. Like
that was straight away. And they really went to incorporating the full music video into the wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just showed you how much effort they used to put into it.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the last 10 years or something, it's been like, it's brought to you by Mars. And we want to thank Machine Gun Kelly for his official version of the Breaking Point theme song. And it's just like playing there while in between matches or whatever. It's like, whereas this one here was the intro package. And then when they were coming, I don't know, was it Austin's match? It was the music leading up to it. Yeah, like, you know.
Heyman even addresses it at the start.
Now, look, that was a bit desperate for me, to be honest. He did it the first time at the very start, okay, and then halfway through the pay-per-view, he repeated the same line again.
You can't be doing that.
I was like, oh, Paul, come on.
Heard you the first time, mate.
Yeah, exactly. No, we didn't like it the first time. You can't shove it down our throat. Now, it's probably Vince McMahon on the mic saying, say it again, pal.
You didn't talk about drowning pool.
Yeah.
Sir, I said it at the start of the show. It'll sound weird if I say it again. Say it again, pal.
Say it, Eamon. So the whole theme here is the Alliance, as it is known, now they won the invasion. So they are growing, apparently.
Even though it was very loose with the rules. Yeah, it was, you know. It was all about Invasion, which we did Invasion last week, or the week before.
2 weeks ago, whatever.
So that was the pay-per-view before this one. And they really sort of had an Invasion, like, oh, if WCW wins, you know, we'll all be whatever.
Out of a job.
For the shit heap.
Yeah.
And, like, they won technically more matches on the card, including, like, you know, cruiserweight and fucking
Brawl.
Tag team matches and all that shit, racking them up. And then it didn't really mean anything. Like, they just kept going, like, battling.
And now
they say they have the upper hand, but they definitely don't.
It kind of seems like what they want is to have all the gold.
Yeah.
And I have a big fucking thing about, since I haven't watched anything in between, you've obviously been watching the Raws and SmackDown.
Yes.
So since I counted it, since the last pay-per-view, so yeah. Billy Kidman was WCW Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah.
That's now X-Pac. Yeah. X-Pac was the Light Heavyweight Champion. That was now Tajiri.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy lost the Hardcore title and he came out as Hardcore Champion. Lance Storm was somehow Intercontinental Champion.
Did he come out as Hardcore Champion?
Yeah, he was.
Was Rob Van Dam not the champ?
No, it was Jeff Hardy was the champ because he was announced by the Fink, and you can check it if you like. Cause,
I don't believe you. I'm pretty sure it was Rob Van Dam who said, and still.
No, 100%.
Okay.
It was Jeff Hardy because, and even JR, like he won it in a memorable fashion a couple of nights ago.
Oh, okay.
So
okay. Oh, you know what? I'll hold my hands up. Sorry.
How did they win it?
I said, well, see, that's what I don't know, because in an effort to make it, see, cards on the table. I recently got The Last of Us 2.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, you getting it is what spurred me on getting it. Well, if he's getting it, I'm definitely getting it.
How far into it are you?
I've passed it.
Okay. I'm in Seattle.
Yeah, me too. I've just gotten like gasoline for the.
Okay, so I'm just past there. Yeah. I'm just past that. I'm a little bit past that.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. And I took my PlayStation apart and all the other day to, because I was like, I was playing it for the first couple of days, and it was
that
just
what that was on Instagram, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, PlayStation. Why did he take his record player apart? Like,
no, going back now. Yeah. I'm a movie guy now. But yeah, because it was like a jet engine, but like a serious, like something's gonna blow here. Like, I couldn't hear any of the dialogue. I was just had the subtitles on, but it made a massive difference. So
what did you do?
I took it apart and I took the sort of battery pack out and just dusted around the fan like with cotton
gave
swabs.
It the old,
I went into each one with a cotton
into
swab.
The cartridge.
All right. Blew into every orifice, and
doing what you do best, blow.
So anyway, now it's working great. So anyway, I've been playing a lot of The Last of Us when I should have been watching SummerSlam. So I had to skip SmackDown to get to SummerSlam in time to make it for this podcast. So
I watch them on my commute into work or on my break in work on my phone.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't. Sometimes on the big screen, if I have time to spare. But you know, this is work stuff. This is my work. I have to do.
Yeah, I've done that many a time, especially when I was on the bus and we were doing our. When you give me a movie, I give you a movie. Old school, new school. I've pretty much watched all them on my commutes back and forth to work.
No wonder you hated them all.
Yep,
they're meant to be seen on a screen. But it was just, so Jeff Hardy was another one. DDP and Canyon are now the WWF tag champs.
Who better than Canyon?
Undertaker and Kane are WCW tag champs. Matt Hardy is the European champion. I think that's it. But so many title changes. I could not keep up.
And so many titles in general.
Yeah, but it just seems like they're like, okay, whatever. Now, like, how did Lance Storm just came out with the title? How did he win it?
I had no idea, but I don't think he had it when, like, I watched the Raw before SummerSlam and I didn't see him with it.
He didn't have it at Invasion, definitely. Because like, he was wrestling against Edge and Christian and he had no titles.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they were a hot shot and everything. Yeah, try it over here. But it seems to me that's where they're going. Who has more belts? Which faction has more belts, you know?
Yeah, they were definitely bigging that up. There was a segment on Raw or SmackDown where like Stephanie was introducing all the people who have gold from the Alliance and all this sort of stuff, and there was a lot of them. So they're obviously sort of running with that angle, like whoever has the gold makes the rules, and but you know whatever Heyman would say.
Yeah, but even like it was weird that like William Regal's like, oh well, since you have a WWF title, you're under my jurisdiction. Like okay, but like these guys are wrestling in your company. Surely you can make matches with these guys as well. Like, you know, give me some sort
it's on the show. Give me some continuity.
Give me some sort of like again rule structure.
But SummerSlam, I remember, was always Kerry was asking me. Now let me ask you the same question, right? Because SummerSlam for me, what?
It's the second biggest pay per view.
Your second favorite.
It's the second biggest.
Oh, is it?
I would say. I would say it's WrestleMania, then SummerSlam, then Royal Rumble, then Survivor Series.
I would put then, Rumble at two, maybe.
Would you?
I would always thought that was the bigger one. It's WrestleMania season.
Yeah, but what I would say to you is SummerSlam, like, take it this way. They never held a Royal Rumble in England. You know, SummerSlam... Right. was held in England. It was that big a deal. Like, or like it used to be when you won King of the Ring, you got a title shot at SummerSlam, and it'd be like big moment. Like Brock Lesnar won his first championship at SummerSlam, beating The Rock. It was always a kind of big thing.
Okay.
You know, you crown new people or, you know.
Right.
Whereas with the Royal Rumble, it's kind of like WrestleMania's little brother or something like that. Like
it's not
probably,
really about the Rumble, it's about something else.
It's about getting to WrestleMania, SummerSlam could be a fucking make it all. I mean, I guess if you win the Rumble though, it's a big thing. You're making somebody like when somebody wins a title at the Royal Rumble, you're like, okay, cool.
But yeah, we all know there's a big match coming at Mania whoever won the Rumble. Yeah.
Whereas if you win the title at SummerSlam, there's every chance you're going on a run to Mania with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True,
like it could be like the start of a 6-month reign or whatever. Like
it's a proper reign. Yeah.
It can be like because they fucking change everything so much. But
I would say SummerSlam as a kid was one of my favorites because it was always around that summertime, obviously. But I always remember, like...
Right before school started back.
Yes. Yeah. And I always remember, like, I would get... A lot of time I would just be up watching it by myself and me gaff. Sometimes Tony would watch it, but Tony would never stay up long enough. He liked to sleep. But, like, so a lot of time it'd be me. But, I mean, sometimes he'd be there. But I would always pull the chair right up to the, in front of the TV. And I'd have a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
Keep me up, of course.
I think I'd have popcorn, possibly.
Such an American.
I know. Well, I was watching an American show. So I'd have a whole sort of, you know, system worked out. Would you have, like, do you have any memories of, like, would you watch it ever by yourself or would it always be with the lads?
I would have the lads over a lot of the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones to have the lads over, because it was in the height of summer, it was King of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have, like, I remember the King of the Ring 98 having one of my friends over because I was a huge Stone Cold fan, but I was a huge Kane fan.
So, really?
Yeah. Oh,
a teenager.
Yeah. You know my feelings on Kane.
I know now, but.
He's the greatest big man in the history of the sport. Or one
he actually
of the greatest,
is. He actually
one
is.
One of the greatest. Like,
he's brilliant.
But, I was a huge Stone Cold fan, and the idea of Kane possibly setting himself on fire if he lost a first blood match with Steve Austin was, you know, just in the idea of like we're gonna see somebody do something insane. And then you had the whole Mick Foley Undertaker match
then
seeing that live.
Oh, did you see that live? Did you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I had a friend over to watch that, and like,
it really was anything can happen.
Like back then, like, you know, because it was in the heart of the summer, it was June, I think,
right,
was always King of the Ring. June or July.
Yeah.
You know. Undertaker fighting back. He's fighting. With that, oh, the God Almighty! The God Almighty! They killed him! You're off school. Your parents didn't mind. Cause, and you're around that age. You're 13, 14. They didn't mind if your friends stayed over and you, you know.
just sit up and watch it.
Like, you know, you're harmless.
Yeah, harmless fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I guess when it came around to the school year, I would record them and probably get up and watch them. Get up real early and watch them before school.
Right, okay.
Yeah, my mom would tape them for me.
Ah, that's good.
Work out the VCR so that she could, you know, preset the timer and stuff like that.
You had to do a certain thing where it would make it would turn the VCR from a 3 hour to a 6 hour or something like that. Long play. You have to press down a button on the cassette tape or something like that.
Something that, like, or like, even you could have the tape in a 3 hour tape on the one we had, and you could set it to record from 1 to 4.
Yeah,
on the VCR.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah, so you could say it's preloaded. My mom be like, "Okay, it's all set up here. I'm not going to turn the plugs off." I remember, one time we had it set up, and I don't know if it was her or my dad hit the plugs off, going to sleep, and then like I woke up the next morning, I was like,
"Where is it? Where the fuck is it?" Turn on the lights. Who took these plugs?
Gemma, what's going on?
It's something about the plugs. Who did it?
Squatting down, taking a shit, like
getting like nose to nose with your parents. Like, I want to know who the fuck took these plugs out of this wall, or I'm gonna lose my freaking mind.
Terry, but then it's the backlash, stress, Terry, like a minor pay per view.
I know, there was nothing like. But then there would always be the stress of like you'd set something to record from like 1 to 4, and like it's like 1:15, and the other thing, the cricket is still on or something like that. You probably loved it. The cricket is still on.
Wasn't like, the cricket what? Back then.
And like, it's not going to make it. Like, it's starting at 1:45, and you know it's going to cut off the main event. Like, oh, the stress.
Or well, when I got a TV in my room.
Oh yeah.
And they started showing it on Channel 4. Well,
ooh, doggy.
Let's just say I was a tired boy in school the next day.
Not to mention the stress of the. I don't know if you ever got the, well, if you ever got the box office, like, ordeal, because once or twice we'd order something, whatever it was, it would be on box office. And, like, I might have, like, Simo down, me and Tony would be trying to watch something on it, and it would be, like, you'd be on the phone, it's like, it starts in, like, 5 minutes, you're still on hold. And then you get there, it's like, oh, okay, they said they're going to turn it on in a few minutes. It's like 10 past, it hasn't turned on yet. Like, call them back. More like, I'm on hold again. Like, the stress of the whole thing. Like,
man, it's such an analog society we live in.
I know.
Now it's literally like, oh, I'm going to go tomorrow. It's on the WWE app, you know? Yeah. Whatever.
No problem.
Yeah, grand. Starts up. Perfect.
Which, by the way, we should extend a word of gratitude to our mutual pal, Andy Ryan, whose account we are commandeering, using...
He gave us the password. He knew the game.
He knew what this was.
Yeah.
Should we get into the first match of it anyway?
Sure. We got my boy and yours, if
Lance
you have any sense.
Storm versus Edge.
And I tell you what, I'm liking it even more now. If I could just be serious for a moment.
I know, yeah.
Without any introduction. It's pure panto. It's great. I know. Like, and then
it's
like
oh no, it isn't. Yeah.
It's like, as soon as we're talking, the music hits, like, I can't believe he interrupted me.
Yeah.
And like,
and it's the ultimate like straight laced guy versus the like, crazy. Well, not even crazy, but like sort of
exciting,
enigmatic.
Yeah. You know, this exciting young guy that like has gone from a weird goth guy to like a goofy comedy guy to now he's come out the other side. He's goofy, but he's a baby face, and like the crowd are like. First of all, the crowd back then was so fucking hot for pretty much everything.
I know.
And like, they're so mad. They're so ready for Edge to be like a superstar, you know?
Yeah. They loved Edge.
A really good match, I have to say. I thought it was a really fucking good match.
Like, I thought it was good. I mean, this was... I took more notes as the show went on. I don't have a lot of notes for this one. I just have pretty good. That's how I'd sum up this
match. I tell you what, and I was thinking about this. You know that you're a body man, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about William Regal's body last time. I'd go one more. I tell you, if I could have Lance Storm's body right there is... Like, he
Lance
is very
Storm.
Unassuming. And then I was looking at him, I was like, his fucking chest is huge. And his arms. Like, but like, he
but
just
are
looks...
they, though?
But they are. Like,
why does
looks,
he appear so small and...
He just
wouldn't
looks
even
normal,
say scrawny, but
He's a thick boy, like.
I have to look at him again, to be honest.
Because I don't the idea of being like a fucking roided up freak, like for lack of a better term, somebody who looks like maybe Test,
yeah,
or something like that, like where you're like, okay, like he's huge, he's too huge, you know, like
if I could have the body of anyone in WWF 2001, I'd probably go I'd go with Kurt Angle.
I was going to say, I'd throw Kurt Angle in there as well. Like, to be honest,
because you know he's... Well, I don't know if he's all... He's definitely not all natural, probably, back because nobody was. Well, maybe he was. I don't know.
He'd be closer. I tell you what, though, even looking at Steve Austin, where I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, he's got a bit
it's
of
not
a
showy,
tummy.
But it's...
He's got a bit of a tummy, but, you know, I could, you know, live with that.
I would be very happy.
I am living with it, so, you know.
Yeah. You and me both, pal.
Yeah. But no, really, really solid opener.
Yeah.
And they're planting the seeds for aging Christian.
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd ending with that, that like Christian speared Edge
caught him.
And almost cost him the match. And then like afterwards, he's just sort of like back. He's not celebrating with him in the ring. He's just leaving, like giving him a thumbs up. Like, all right. It's like,
but
something's going on there.
The little vignette backstage where he's like, I just got off the phone. Oh, he has grandma on the phone. He's like, I got a match for the European title with Matt Hardy, and like Matt Hardy standing right there, like he's like, oh, good luck, like, and just walks off.
That.
Everybody's they're all congratulating Edge, and he's like, oh, awesome news, bud, I got a match for the European title with Matt Hardy. Like, and they're all supposed to be in the WWF team, so they shouldn't be fighting each other for the title. It's just like, oh, this guy is just so super selfish and so.
It was always going to be Christian.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I just have my next note. There was a backstage sort of segment with Test and...
Cole. Michael Cole. Do you know that it's not Michael Cole's real name?
What?
I heard this on JR's podcast the other day. They were talking about it and it was like, Michael Cole came up and was like, yeah, if that is his real name. And your man Conrad was like, it's not his real name? Are you telling me that's not his real name? He's like, no, it's, I'm going to tell you right now, it's like...
Is Conrad on the JR podcast?
Conrad, yeah, hosts the JR podcast. It's Sean Coulthard.
What?
And he's like, he just told me there's no Santa Claus. It's Sean Michael Coulthard. Sean Michael Coulthard is his real name.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. So
Sean Michael Coulthard. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't have called him Sean Michael something.
No, there you go. Like, you know, but like Michael Cole is a pretty good adaptation.
Yeah, Michael Cole is a good name. It's sort of I like the 2-syllable first name, 1-syllable last name sort of sounding rhythm.
It's generic enough that it has become a household name.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But it's not like over the top standout.
Yeah.
You know, like
It's not like Michael.
You know, it's
Starr.
Not like. No, but you know what I mean. Like, there's some names you're like, oh, what is that? Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
Byron Saxton. I was
just gonna say Byron Saxton. Like, you know,
shut up, Byron. My only note that I have here is just shut up, Tess. That's my only note from this segment.
Gone
he talks
too
for too long. He's why is it? Why is it the Tess never like
connected.
Really got over ever?
He kind of did get over at the start when he was him and Stephanie, that whole thing, you know, and he kind of was getting over then, and then it was just like, no, you know what, Triple H is the guy we're going to hitch this. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I tell you what, though, he might not have got over, but his music sure did.
Test. This is
I
Test.
Fucking
awful.
So that match was next. Was it Test and the Dudleys versus APA and Spike?
Yeah.
My only note on this. I have two notes.
Okay, go on.
Note is Ron Simmons. The fuck? Like, talking about bodies. He's flexing his pecs walking to the ring. And I was like, he must be about in his 40s at this stage.
I know. He's more muscle than man.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's like he can barely see out of all of his muscle that's just in front of him. Like,
I love him, don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's great. Like,
all I'm doing now when I'm watching the APA is just watching them clobber people. Like, full on, like nothing fake about that.
It's a potato fest. It's, they talk about working snug. Like, whenever I see Farouk lift somebody up for the Dominator, I'm like, no.
And it seems like Bradshaw really, I mean, that clothesline from here,
Did he do it to test in this match?
I think he must have done.
But gee, the fuck, we talk about Austin running the ropes, Bradshaw hitting those ropes, and then, like you say,
like a freight train.
Fucking, you might as well have a fucking 2x4 or so. Oh my God! Like
every time he hits it, I go, "Oh Jesus!"
For such a, you know, it's a clothesline. That's what it is. But my God, it is the most effective. Like, nobody should ever kick out of that move. Ever.
No, most effective move, hands down. Because
yeah.
He did it. He did it not to jump ahead too much, but he did it to Shane later on.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
Fucking hell. I'm
like, get him to a hospital. He's like, what the fuck? Like, Shane's dead. Yeah. Like, you know, like,
my only note for.
I was thinking about that. I was like, you ever fall off something, like fall flat on your back,
yeah,
and you're like, you can't breathe,
yeah,
your body is like shaking, yeah, or like, you know, you go cold and hot at the same time,
yeah,
and then I was like, that weird, like, oh, I don't feel right feeling,
yeah,
and then I was like, imagine taking that clothesline from Bradshaw, like.
Like, it's not even from, like, me. Like, if me or you, like, were taking...
I'd be dead. Like, if he hit me with that, like, I'd have a heart attack. Or a fucking brain hemorrhage.
He's, like,
or something.
7
like,
feet tall, 300 pounds. Just and, absolutely like, hitting you as hard as he can.
He is that kind of muscle where it's soft, fat muscle.
Yeah.
Like I said, to go back to William Regal, who I thought was, like, you know, I used to think he was thick-looking, but he looked, like, hard in the last one. Bradshaw looks soft,
yeah,
like, and I'm sure he's not soft, but he has that, like, he looks soft and fat, yet when you see him do anything you're like, oh man, like,
strength
him, he's throwing it. If Bubba Ray Dudley wrestled without his top off, I would have them probably in the same category of, like, you like Bubba Ray. Like, because he wears the camo and it does camouflage his look.
Yeah.
Robustness.
Yes, shall we say.
But he can fucking move for a big guy as well.
He can definitely move.
That's the thing. Like,
my only note for this current match was, not a fan of Spike and Molly at all.
I do not like the
storyline that's been going back and forth with these two. It's just been excruciating. I kind of like you too.
So the whole thing, did they do the whole thing with the Holly cousins? That it was supposed to be like Romeo and Juliet with the Dudley boys.
Yeah, and like the Dudleys were, that's how the Dudleys turned heel and Spike stayed a face, I guess.
Okay.
Because the Dudleys were like, just like being real mean to Spike and then like just beating up Molly and all this sort of stuff. And then like.
Because you could do that back then, apparently.
Yeah.
Beat up women. Like,
it was just nothing, like putting them through a table, like nothing. And like, and then there was
those
Crash.
Damn Dudleys.
Yeah, those damn Dudleys. So yeah, this match again. This was kind of
no
fairly...
cards on the table. I skipped 5 minutes of it. Like,
great,
you know.
I'm glad you said that because I also skipped it. Now let's move on.
I got to the end though. Okay. Like, poof.
Yeah, the
laying
the
it in like
clothesline.
Yeah.
The next match was Tajiri versus X-Pac.
Now, what did you notice about this match, Andy? What was there a significant lack of?
William Regal?
I'll tell you what there was a lack of. There was a lack of Uncle Cracker. Why, you ask?
Why?
I think we alluded
to because they used it without his permission.
And then it was like conspicuously gone by the next time around. That it was just
put this faction to bed, X Factor. They don't talk to each other ever. They just come out together. Like, there's no dialogue between them at all. And Albert, X-Pac, and Justin Credible. And they've had 15 theme tunes. What?
Justin Credible's gone. He's gone to the Alliance. It's X-Pac and Albert.
I haven't even seen that. Justin Credible. He might just be gone.
I think they said that at the last pay-per-view that he had defected back to ECW. So it's just X-Pac and Albert.
Well, it must have been when the cameras turned off or else no one gave a shot.
He's just standing there beside Hugh Morris.
Sean Stasiak.
We get to him.
Yeah. Tajiri, I can't get over... Like, I don't really remember Tajiri being as good as he is now. He's got a lot of heat like at the moment, and like for the last six weeks, like, loads of people are loving Tajiri and myself. I just love every
I'll tell you what, this was a fucking great match. This is the best match so far in the card.
Yeah.
And he goes better than the opener, better than the X-Pac still. I'm like, fucking hell, he might be a fucking dickhead. And
I don't see it. He's a good wrestler. I don't understand.
Man. Smooth AF.
Is he?
Yeah. And snug. It's a good combination. Because his kicks look like they fucking hurt, which they probably do.
With that martial arts background.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, his educated feet of X-Pac. And by the way, it was lovely to have JR and Heyman on commentary.
They were great.
Yeah, instead of JR and Cole.
Yes, 100%. I am fully on board with the Heyman JR partnership now.
Yeah, yeah. And I won't say it. But,
and so the Tajiri X-Pac match was a title versus title match. Now, I'll ask you a question. Is the light heavyweight title the least prestigious in WWF history?
It looks terrible. No, I mean, I used to love it because my boy Gilbert was champ. But even before, in all seriousness, in like 97, like Taka Michinoku was light heavyweight champ. And like,
he seemed to disappear for a while, then come back for a while, and then just
disappeared, and then became cruiserweight, and then disappeared again. Like, they actually got rid of it. I think when they do the merge here, because X-Pac was cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, they merged the two.
So they just get rid of light heavyweight and it becomes the cruiserweight title.
I must say I was very disappointed that he lost in pure kayfabe terms, in being invested in the storyline. And when he lost, I did get a little in my...
My question is, why is he still in WWE, like X-Pac?
Like, I don't know what he's doing there. He's not going anywhere. Nobody wants
him there. Like, nobody wants him there. Like, just put him in the Alliance, and it makes more sense that it is a WWE person versus an Alliance person rather than these two WWF superstars going at it.
He's fighting. They're both just WWF guys.
He's a heel. Like, put him with the heel faction. Like, he has what they call X-Pac heat. Like, you know, put him with the rest of them. Yeah, it's a thing.
What does that mean? Like someone who just can't get over?
Because he was over so much. Like when he was, him and Kane were a tag team and stuff. Yeah. Like he was a face and like big time. I guess like 99, 2000. And at this point in his career, it's just like there's nothing he can do to get fans to cheer him. Like,
no.
Like he there just really has isn't. That X-Pac heat. Like that's what it is.
It's because I mean,
that's what they say. Like if somebody, like you would refer to
like Roman Reigns,
in terms of that thing, like it's close to it. That it's like no matter what he tries to do, you can't get over. Like X-Pac, the last review, he came out against Kidman, and Kidman's the heel, and X-Pac by default should have been the face because he was the WWF guy. And he gets booed way more than the heel does. Like, you know, they fucking hate him.
I don't know what it is. Just look at him. He needs to change.
Because
I have no reason why I continuously refer to him as a weasel and a snake and whatever. I think it's just his hair.
His hogs like this, man.
He's just very unlikable. That's really it. Yeah. And there's nothing he can do about that. He's just Xbox.
He could, like, he made himself likable way back when he was in DX and stuff, but I think he's just gone too far now, you know? Yeah. He's done too much bad stuff as a heel, I think, to ever go back.
Yeah. I seen a thing of him at an independent show. It was just on something I was watching online. And he came out and he's doing the whole thing, whatever. I was like, oh, he kind of looks like the normal Xbox. And then he turned to the side. Just this good. I was like, yeah, oh, shit. Yeah. And then I remember he, like, I seen a clip where he, like, literally tore his asshole doing a Bronco Buster at some indie show with, like, 100 people. And, like, he went to do it or something and something happened and he's just there on the ground just holding his ass. I was like, oh, this is just so sad.
Sean.
I know. Anyway, but
a good match and a bit of shenanigans at the end, and Tajiri lost.
When does he put the red mist in? This one was red, I guess, but when does he put it in?
I could tell when he put it in. Can you? I don't know when he did it, but when I saw his mouth, I was like, oh, it's in.
Oh, right, all right. I've said that about a million times, and then he'll, like, go, yeah, and I'm like, no, okay.
No, I was like, okay, so it's coming now, and then it was like, oh, Albert gets it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next match was,
Was it
Jericho?
Jericho and Rhino. Also, decent match.
Decent match. It was a bit weird that Stephanie had been coming out with Rhino the last couple of weeks, and it just didn't really make a lot of sense. She would never associate with someone like him.
No, and it's just, I guess it's her hired mercenary to take out Jericho, whatever. Didn't age well, Jericho forcing a kiss on Stephanie.
That's the only note I have, is like, just Jericho forcing Stephanie to kiss him there, that's all.
A decent match. It was a bit kind of slow at times.
The only thing they kind of had
been
on
shorter,
it.
Like, could have been shorter.
I was reading a review of SummerSlam and they said that the Tajiri X-Pac match, despite starting off kind of good, really lost the fans by the end for some reason. And the fact that this match came right after it, maybe the fans were still a bit asleep after it, whatever. The only thing they really had for this angle or whatever was that Jericho's never beaten Rhino.
Yeah.
And that's what they kept saying all on the week before and all.
So, like, you knew he was going to win then. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, that was the thing. Like, but it was, you know, Jericho was his solid self. There was a bit in it that was fucking very dangerous looking, where he tried to do a moonsault off the ropes.
Yeah, like off the second moonsault, rope, running, like, at it and bounced back.
Running at an incredible pace and then, like, slipped. And, like, he ended up hitting it, but I was like, fucking hell.
I know, it could have gone so wrong. Like.
Decent match. Yeah, decent match.
But then we have Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy for a hardcore title ladder match. This is what I'm here for.
These knocked it out of the park last month and they did the same again.
Yeah,
fucking bloody hell. Brilliant. Even with the botch at the end.
So Jeff is swinging from the title essentially, and Rob Van Dam, I don't know what he was thinking.
He
missed him by about two clear feet.
Incredibly difficult to do that. Like he's going to be swinging. I'm going to jump on the top rope and then springboard off the top rope, do a spin kick. And if I time it correctly, he's going to swing into my spin kick.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Like,
he was miles off. And not only that, it would be hard enough to do if he got up on the top rope and, like, settled himself and waited for him to swing. But he just bounced up and spun back immediately. Yeah. And I was like, well, he got a hold of that one.
He's hanging. He can't get the belt. He's hanging on for dear life. It's Jeff Hardy. Van Dam trying to pull Jeff Hardy down and off and out. Oh, my God. Jeff was teetering over the concrete. Van Dam! Van Dam looking for an all there. Jeff Hardy couldn't hold on any longer. Van Dam was going for it all on that spinning kick, trying to catch Jeff Hardy swinging and teetering.
But still, Jeff Hardy was off balance and could not retrieve the...
Just got absolutely nowhere near
him. What I did like about it was kind of realistic, that it was like Jeff Hardy has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So he just had to drop, and you're like, oh God, the drop. Yeah. Like, or even there was another bit where it was like he kicked the ladder or something, and Jeff Hardy did a drop kick on the ladder, and then like Rob Van Dam fell on top of Jeff Hardy, and you're like, oh Jesus.
And even at the end, like Jeff kicked the ladder, or Rob Van Dam kicked the ladder off. Jeff like sort of tumbled off, it went like neck and shoulders into the rope, and all this, like, I was like, fucking hell, like
some of the stuff they're doing with like the sunset flip onto the ladder, it's like, that was the thing I was thinking about, where I was like, I would be seeing spots. There's no way, like, that was there was 10 minutes left in the match after that. I was like, how do you get up after that, like the impact? I was like, who'd fucking want to be a wrestler?
I know.
That's what I was thinking, that, like, you know,
you'd want to be earning serious money, which a lot of them probably weren't.
They're not, like, you know, but like,
can I ask you, why does Rob Van Dam's body look weird to me? What's weird about him, Van Dam? He kind of looks like a, I don't know what the PC term is. He kind of looks like a little person, but fully grown. Is that all right?
Oh, okay, I get what you mean.
You know, his proportions or something.
He has a long torso, but like...
Yeah, I can't tell if he's got short arms or really long arms or something. Short legs. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that have, like, they're, you would say, like, oh, they're about the same height as me. And then you see, oh, they have short legs, but a really long torso. Like,
it's something.
I'm not gonna name names, but he knows who he is. He knows who he is.
Please tell me off
here. Yeah. Let me see if I can type it.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. That's a little in joke there just for the two of us.
Yeah. Well, we're having fun.
We're having fun, at least.
A great match, some fucking great spots. And again, like the last month's one, they weren't rushing to do fucking, you know, they wrestled for quite a bit before they got into the ladders. They were in no rush. They were great pacing in this one. Like,
yeah, it was. It was excellent. And it built very steady. Yeah. It was like a definition of like building blocks. You know,
they have great chemistry together. Yeah. I'd watch them for another two months together.
I'd watch them every pay-per-view. I was delighted that they just went ahead and just booked them again at the next pay-per-view, like, because they were great, and it was probably the best, but maybe it was probably the best or one of the best matches on the show.
Definitely in my top two, anyway.
Yes, I think
it's my number two. I'll tell you right now.
I know what your number one is.
Here's my least favorite match of the night.
You've done it. And he finally had it. This is the first time he had that music.
Was it?
You've done it. Now.
What a song.
Gonna made a big mistake. He's kicking assholes.
You're gonna pay. You can't unhear it. No. You hear it? This match fucking sucked. Right?
It was shit.
It was literally just...
squash the beef.
Yeah. But it was 100% just a squash match where it's like they're beating the shit out of Paige and Kanyon. Kanyon leaves
halfway
through.
What's Kanyon doing there, like, at a pay-per-view?
I tell you what. If you go back, Kanyon is a seriously underrated wrestler.
Is
he? He is very innovative. He was a guy that was coming up with all these kind of new variation on moves back in WCW.
All right.
He was, I think, one of the first gay wrestlers that was
kind of gay
in the modern era that was out. And he died very young. So I don't know the ins and outs of it. But
well, let's find out, Jerry.
Yeah, give it a text there and see what you say. I think it's more tragic than...
Chris Kanyon, is that it?
Yeah. Who better than Kanyon? I always liked him, I have to say.
I had been kind of liking him, but I didn't think he had any place on this card.
He seems a bit shoehorned.
Yeah, just because DDP needed someone.
Yeah.
Death. Kanyon had been suffering from bipolar disorder, and he threatened suicide in the weeks prior to his death.
Yeah.
On April 2nd, his brother Ken found him dead in his Sunnyside, Queens apartment with an empty bottle of antidepressants. He was 40 years old. He left behind a note of apology to his family, and his death was acknowledged by WWE. great.
Great, yeah, thanks. But
we acknowledge.
I remember hearing that, you know, him being out had some stuff to do with it as well. Like, you know, so, yeah.
Fucking hell. That's a shame. You know, it's such really a tragic end for so many of them, like.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for, like.
You know, a bunch of reasons, I mean, but it just never seems to. Like, if you get easy, out, like, if you get out, like, let alone if you get out with money, if you just get out with your health or with, you know, without addictions.
I think one of the best examples of somebody who got out, apart from The Rock, who fucking, you know, took his chips away from the table, Steve Austin is another one.
Yeah.
Like, but I see Kurt Angle now and I'm like, oh, Kurt. Like, you were beautiful. Like, and I see him when
he's. What's
he
like now? Like,
we went through a whole phase when he left WWE because he wouldn't go to rehab again because he was like popping pills too much, pain pills, because he'd so many fucking
injuries.
Yeah. And he just wouldn't heal up. He wouldn't let himself heal up or anything like that, like broken necks or whatever. And you see him, he was back doing a GM thing a few years ago and you could see him standing in the ring and his knees were always bent. Like, he couldn't, like, he was never able to stand up straight properly. And I was just like,
shit.
Yeah. And he just, you know, he just doesn't look all there properly anymore.
He doesn't quite, you know? Kind of looks like a lot of people. I kind of imagine with him now that, like, a lot of the time he'll laugh at something that he doesn't quite understand why it's funny. Or, you know what I mean? Something, one of those sort of guys.
Yeah,
Kind of like Joey in Friends or something. Like.
Well, when you see him here in, like, 2001, you're like, fucking hell. Like,
what sharp absolute, as a tack.
What an absolute stud. And, I know. You see him now, I'm like, ugh.
Well, to sum up the Undertaker, Kane, DDP, Kanyon gets out of the cage and they just completely beat the fuck out of DDP. I didn't get the whole, like, Taker saying to DDP, walk out of here now and I'll let you live and all this. Don't let me, whatever, catch you again. Do you have to pick your nose like that on camera?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. and then he just, like, DDP's like, okay, and he's coming with the cage, and then Undertaker's just talking with Kane for a bit, and Undertaker just turns around and, like, choke slams him again. It seemed very odd. Stupid. Like, it didn't seem like it worked at all. I don't know if that was what was supposed to happen, or...
It's stupid. This whole angle fucking buried Paige, and it was just fucking... I don't know, it was the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, you know,
yeah, look at what they did for Booker T,
yeah,
compared to, like,
Paige is a former world champ, like, as well, like, you know.
Yeah. Do you know anything about The Undertaker? Tony was telling me about The Undertaker would be like, back when I was like, The Undertaker's overrated, he was like telling me about The Undertaker was kind of like the enforcer at the back, like in the back.
Yeah, he's like the locker room guy
judge.
Whatever.
So what, like, people that, would have a problem, they would go to him, and whatever he said.
He would, like, do wrestler's court, and it was like, if you stepped out of line, or you were, you know, he would say, okay, you got to buy a fucking case of beer for this guy for how many months, or whatever, you know, like, he's the guy, he was the locker room guy. Like, even with the Montreal Screwjob, apparently he was, like, furious that he wasn't in the know of what was happening. So he could control things.
Right.
Because everybody was, like, going crazy backstage. Like, what the fuck happened? And he didn't know. And he was... I think it was Pritchard was telling the story that it was, like... He was, like, going to... He was kind of going mental at him because he thought he knew.
Right.
And the only people that knew were Hebner, Bret Hart... Oh, not Bret Hart. Hebner, Michaels,
and
Triple
Vince.
H, and Vince.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if Patterson or whatever knew, but, like,
yeah,
that whole thing where it's like he's very much the guy that kind of ran the locker room backstage.
That's mad.
Well, he's been there since the 80s, so, or like 1990, whatever it was, you know.
No one's really gonna fuck with him, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so it's
they with this match, I remember they showed a clip of before getting into the next match, the Austin Angle match, the Raw before was the one where he started doing the what?
Was it? Okay.
No, I didn't catch on. People weren't saying what, but it was actually it was like about 25 minutes at the start of Raw where he had all the alliance around the ring and he kept calling them in and he's like, who beat you last week? And I was like, huh? What?
This like, is when he got the belt out as well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is what happens when you don't go.
Hey, bitch. And he kept going. And he just kept going up to people like, you're pathetic. Like,
I love it. I fucking love it.
It was brilliant. I was loving Austin around this time.
Humorous? Is that humorous?
I missed that one.
And it makes perfect sense because he's come over to the Alliance and then it's like, oh, these guys are fucking shite.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the champion. I'm the fucking best in the business. And I'm stuck with these fucking pieces of shit. And
Tommy Dreamer. He's like, you got a WWF or you got an Austin shirt on. It's like, good for you. He's like, you haven't even had one match since you got here. Dreamer just like looks down all sad.
So like that, I think like that, like, and again, you kind of forget about it, but like this whole story is kind of Austin's story.
Like, yeah,
the through line is like Stone Cold and all the other stuff going on around it, but like the one through line story throughout the whole thing really is Stone Cold losing his mind.
Yeah.
You know, and like
people come and go, but the whole thing is Austin's descent into whatever the hell he's doing.
I thought it was great that it was like the fact that he's like, oh, I'm here where they love me. You know, what's wrong with Stone Cold? And then he gets here and he's like, oh, crap.
Like, they're all terrible.
It's like, well, you know what? Like, I don't know how to manage these people, so I'm just going to do, you know, like
what I know.
Yeah, he's like, what I know is fear and beat people up, like
just absolutely beating the shit out of people.
And then what a fucking match between
it was
Austin.
A great match,
unbelievable match. Like,
so it's like
should have gone on last.
It should have done. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
it seemed like the Rock Booker T was never going to live up to it.
No,
and,
but
and
I
they
should
have known that as well.
But they're doing The Rock last because it's his first one back, you know,
right,
whatever
right,
like that.
Right.
Like from, and The Rock is the big Hollywood star, but like, it's, you know, I think the next couple of pay per views, The Rock does not go on last,
right?
Because the big thing is Austin Angle going from here out. Like,
and the thing is, like, The Rock is good. Like, The Rock has good matches, but like. I think Austin and Angle are on another level to him.
Yeah,
like The Rock can more hold his own. You know what I mean? I never look at The Rock and think, oh, he's terrible. But like
that
Angle and
if you want The Rock with Triple H or The Rock with Austin or whatever like that, like, you know, you want The Rock with Booker T, and nobody really cares about Booker T yet. Like, you know, whereas everybody cares about Kurt Angle and people like want to hate Stone Cold.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't really care to hate Booker T yet. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I like especially it. I'm digging the Booker T stuff, to be honest.
And they had Booker
like,
T like a week before, like rehearsing for like an acting job, because The Rock could come back and been a big actor, and the whole segment his whole segments on Raw was him like, okay, now we're gonna rehearse this scene with whatever, like at some Hollywood studio or whatever, and he was trying to play some like noble Englishman or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, like people were really laughing good. Like, so it's like people obviously like him, you know what I mean? So it was weird to have him.
He's really good, but he's just not at that level yet.
Yeah,
you know, like he's just not In the WWE, like he was the main eventer in WCW, people aren't ready. Like,
hang on a sec,
what?
I've got a bunch of flies getting in my house here.
You and the fucking flies again.
Hang on, they're not gonna make a mug out of me this time.
Unbelievable, folks! Cut me off mid sentence. What is he even doing?
Just nothing. Close, Mr. Window. All right.
You close them in there with you.
Well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to spend the next 10 minutes trying to. They're these little bastards who are up.
You're
by
goddamn right, you're not. So back to the Austin Angle match.
Yeah.
What I loved about it was Austin finally is figuring out how to work as a heel.
Yeah.
You know, like
the way he was. Go on, sorry.
He was vicious. As a heel,
very
but
vicious.
He was also able to like cry off believably in terms of every time Kurt got the ankle lock on him, he's straight to the ropes or whatever. Or he's like, you know, that holding the ankle, whatever. And yeah, like the way he fucking busted him open. Like
the way Angle sold those, it was the shots to the outside ring post, and he just he did it about five times, just ran him right into the ring post. But the way Angle sold them, like he looked dead. It looked like he was hitting it with his head every time, clean, and he was just falling limp on the ground. I'm like, I'm surprised that the outside ring post isn't utilized more in like straight matches, because it's like just this big hunk of metal.
It looks
right
harder
there.
Back then than it does now.
Yeah, like, but definitely.
Like, I always said Kurt Angle has the best like 2.99 kick out.
Yeah,
but there's one in this match where Kurt, and by the way, the way Austin took the Angle slam in this, I thought was fucking amazing.
Oh,
both times when he took it, where he's like, you know, Kurt can do it, and it's just, oh, he drops him around. Yeah. Whatever way Austin took it, it was like he was like
spin.
An extra like rotation or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, he's up in the air far too long. Like,
he should have landed on his head.
He should have come down 2 seconds ago. What's he still doing up there? Like,
let me ask you, were you going to talk about the Angle kick out at two, where he just very limply gets his arm up, like, but it's at the last second, but he just about, like, he doesn't kick out, he just goes.
But with that one there, with Austin, when he did the Angle slam, and then Austin, I was like, one, two, and I was like, well, he's going to kick out, and then it was like, the very last second. Fucking hell. And then, like, I loved Austin, like, pulling out his old, you know, the Cobra Clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JR like alluded to is like, you know, once formed by a guy named the Ringmaster, but
I'm fucking loving that, like, to be honest. And
what was it? Oh no, it wasn't. It was actually the end of this match where JR is just letting
he's going crazy at Heyman, and I know Austin knows he can't do that.
And he's like, he's stuttering over his words a little bit. Like, can you answer me that? I don't think so.
Yeah, he's like, so and he has passionate. The card in his hand. Has the card in his hand, he's like jabbing it at him, like
it was so but good. Like, one thing I did appreciate from this match, sorry to
no, you, go ahead.
This was the first time I've seen Kurt Angle land the moonsault and actually land it. What technique, what form, what hang time for that moonsault.
Absolutely
he does.
Beautiful. Like,
he
jumps, give it a 10 if you're doing the judges' scorecard.
It was a perfect form. And like, he just
every
sails
time
up, like,
somebody moves or they put their knees up or whatever. And
I'd
it was
never,
so satisfying to see him hit it.
Like, yeah, I'd never seen him hit it. And I was a point where I kept saying to Kerry, he's like, well, we know he's not hitting this then if he's gone to the top rope, because it was just a thing. It's safer for him to land flat on the mat.
But it's the perfect person to hit it on.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
The ultimate heel, like, now.
The
like,
one
you know,
he needed.
And I say, like, even, like, the idea, like, he's been teasing it all match. And I kind of had it in my head. I kind of remembered that it was a DQ finish.
Yeah.
But it was like, Hebner kept getting in his face. And I was like, oh yeah, like he just like, he hits Hebner. And the way that he hit Hebner, it was out of nowhere.
That's what I was
saying.
It
wasn't like,
I just
Hebner
started cracking
was like pushing, right? He just got up and like fucking clobbered him.
He absolutely clobbers Hebner. Yeah. Like, I actually burst out laughing when I was watching, because it was just like, it seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, the match is going on. He just turns around and winds up and just absolutely knocks him out.
Was it like he had just got out of the ankle lock or something like that? And like Angle was like still spent on the ground, and he just got up and just like straight over, like, oh, like those Austin, those again, like he doesn't hold back when he's throwing those fists out or like, like
Austin was always quite notorious, wasn't
then,
he, for
like,
actually hitting hard.
Yeah, and then like Kyoto comes in, and you know, when he kicks out again, he just turns around like, oh, the stunner. Like,
but I love
it. And then when Kyoto was falling out of the ring, he does like a basement drop kick to like tell him to get the
give him an extra
out of the
one.
Ring.
Like, wasn't even enough. Yeah. He's kicking that knee
so
after he's out.
So unnecessary. Like,
I love heel Austin now, but like especially when they had the Angle
Patrick.
doing the ankle lock on the outside. And then he pulls
climbing
him up the
steps,
like backwards, pulls him under the bottom or whatever, and then like gets him in the middle of the ring. I'd say I, as a submission, love the ankle lock. I love how simple it is to apply. I love the way Angle kind of goes mad when he's doing it, like, woo, come on, and all this. And I love how everyone sells it. Like, it really looks like they're always in agony. Like,
it's such a perfect move for him, because like,
it's a straight wrestling move as well.
Yeah, but the way he's positioned is like, it's a heel hook or whatever, but like,
yeah,
the way he's positioned, especially like when he like takes the straps down and like he just locks in, he's standing upright and it's the whole upper body is tensed.
It looks
great. The legs are planted. It's a perfect fucking picture. Like, and like you can see, like, say Austin's face is like painted in agony.
Yeah.
And like Angle is like, you know, going crazy. Yeah. The same when Ken Shamrock did it. So Ken Shamrock was like,
come on. I love the way Angle kind of loses his mind when he has a, God, woo! Just keeps going. Like.
I did like at the end when, you know, Patrick calls for the DQ, Angle goes crazy.
Yeah.
And like that. But like they keep cutting to Austin, and Austin has just grabbed the belt and he's taken a powder to the back. And I was like thinking, like, that's really good heel.
Just like, legging just, it. Just, like.
Yeah, not even like.
What's the expression you just used? Taking a powder?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It's just like, running. I'm gone, you know. I'm,
oh, right.
Yeah. This is like, oh, he's taking a powder in the back.
never got that.
But the fact that he's not, like, you know, sometimes when it's a heel begging off and they're looking back.
Up, yeah.
Like, Austin is not concerned with that. He's just like, get me out of here. I have my belt. Yeah. Didn't look back once, and he's just like straight down the whole thing. And I was like, that little touch there even is like, he's like really found himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, as being the heel.
Definitely. And then, how long does he go on being like Austin the heel for?
So what's that? It's August. So what sounds August? So you have September, October, November, I guess.
Okay.
November is the end of the end of the
invasion.
The invasion, yeah.
I am loving Austin as a heel. The only thing that I kind of found was a bit like, I kind of found with this match, like, I knew it was getting to like main event territory, a co-main event or whatever.
Mm.
So you knew that I just knew there was going to be a run in, and I'm kind of waiting for the run in, or I'm waiting for some, you know, it just like for this one, I like the match was so good. Like, do you find that you kind of feel like a tainted like ref? Oh no, he, you know, he's DQ'd for that. Do you think that sort of takes away from the work that they put in, or is it just all part? It seems like it's a real pulling the carpet out.
I think with something like that, you kind of have to protect Kurt, but also, you know, they put on a hell of a, it doesn't take anything away from Kurt.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives them an opportunity to postpone it for, you know, another month or a few weeks or whatever like that. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
I kind of feel like that stuff should be on Raw or SmackDown, but I feel like at the pay-per-view, don't, like, it's kind of like it, like, you know, fooled you. Like, but they're not actually going to settle here.
But this was done so well that I don't think, like, there are times
match.
when it's just like, oh, he grabs a bell and like hits him with the bell and the ref's like, hey, you can't do that. That's a DQ.
Yeah.
Okay. That you're like, well, that's fucking shite. Whereas with this one here, you really got the sense of like, Kurt was screwed.
Yeah.
You know, like Whateley gets his hands on Austin next, you know, whereas other times where it's just, if you're doing that DQ at a pay-per-view, that's where it's just a straightforward one. It's like, oh, he deliberately got himself disqualified.
Yeah.
You're like, why aren't you, that's a TV. Do that on Raw, whatever. Like, you know.
Right.
Whereas, well, that's just how I feel. You know, that this one was done well enough. With the main event, I'm going to be honest with you as well. With this one, I skipped
the first 10 minutes of it myself.
I skipped when they got into rest hole territory.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the start where they were brawling and stuff outside. And then Booker T got him in a chin lock.
Booker T is an absolute beast, if I may say. Every time I see him, I'm like, fucking hell.
What I love about
this. Speaking of bodies.
You touched on it before. What I love about this is the Booker T is supposed to be the mirror of The Rock.
Right, WCW's Rock.
You know, that kind of thing. Even if you look at how their trunks are and everything, they're so similar. Like
the Spinneroonie versus the People's Elbow.
Exactly, like that kind of stuff. The bookend, you know, versus the rock bottom. You know, like you're saying there, Booker T is trying to be an actor as well. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, The Rock has his catchphrases. Booker T has his catchphrases.
Yeah.
You know, I think they did, looking back on it, I think they did a really good job of it. Booker T is really good. And it was a good match, I have to say. Like, it really picked up the last, if it was a, you know, 15, 20 minute match, the last 10 minutes of it, I thought, was really effective.
Yeah.
Shane O'Mac, you know,
Shane just little... Shane coming out, right? Shane got absolutely clobbered in this whole match. Like, he comes out, first of all, he gets clotheslined to absolute hell by JBL. I just have a note here, RIP Shane.
But then The Rock and bottom, like, as well, like,
and that's what I liked about it as well. The Rock does exactly what you want him to do as a face here. Shane interrupts, The Rock immediately gets out, Rock bottoms him to the outside, comes back inside, Booker T gets a bit of the upper hand, he's messing around with the spinneroony, Rock hops great, back
it was
up
a, it was a great finish.
Yeah, but The Rock does the Shawn Michaels sort of kick up to standing, and then straight away Rock bottom. I like that, no messing.
And the scissors kick taking down the challenge.
Like what you do with Shane, right, you rock bottom, I'll put you out. I'm not just going to give you one right hand and get back in the ring. Like, rock bottom, like, to the outside, back in.
Booker T, like, he's missing something. Like, like you say, he did the bookend or whatever. He doesn't have, like, when you see the rock bottom, you're like, whoa, fuck.
It's over.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas he doesn't have one where you're like, oh, he's done the axe kick, and they're like, yeah, but probably won't.
Yeah.
You know, Rock's going to kick out or whatever. Like,
is that the bookend, the axe kick?
No, the bookend is his version of the rock bottom.
But what is the bookend, though? Why can't I picture it?
He did a version of the rock bottom. The Booker T, there was a version of the rock bottom.
Oh, it's the actual rock bottom, like?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed that completely. I just thought bookend was, like, just one of his moves.
Well, that's what it was. He does the rock bottom, but he calls it the bookend.
But does he only do it since the feud with the Rock?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. I think so. He used to have a move off the top rope. It was called, like, the Harlem, because he was in Harlem Heat, was his thing.
Big Splash Harlem or something?
No, it was a Harlem Hangover, where he would do, like, a flip and then,
like,
do
a
leg
to
drop.
The side, sort of, like, yeah.
Like a rolling leg drop off the top rope. Like, he never did it. I think he just gotten too big by the time he got to WWE.
Was a decent match, but you kind of knew exactly what it was going to be, and it was exactly what you thought it would be.
It should have been.
The Rock was there in the SummerSlam poster. I didn't expect him to lose at all.
And I think I was saying, like, I don't know what the next pay-per-view is, if it's Unforgiven or if it's, you know, whatever, one of those ones, Judgment Day, whatever, one of those mid-winter ones. But I think if it's The Rock and Booker T going at it again, they're not on last. You know, it's Austin, Angle, because it was just such a fucking hot match.
That was a great match.
Yeah. And, like, there's the fact that, like, Kurt being, like, bloodied up to bits.
Yeah.
You know,
the match had
really,
colour,
I love,
as they say. The match had colour, as they say in the industry.
Would you think this was a better pay-per-view than Invasion?
Yes.
I would agree.
I would. Even though, like we said, Invasion was one of the highest grossing pay-per-views ever. It was the highest non-WrestleMania one.
Mad.
I know, like, beating, like, Royal Rumbles and fucking everything.
I think it was just that everybody was so pumped for it. And then
they didn't know that they were actually going nowhere with it. But yeah, this was better quality match. Austin and Angle was great. Like, plus the, like, Invasion had, like, as kind of meh as The Rock and Booker T was, and that might be being a bit harsh, but it was what you thought it was going to be. But Invasion had the inaugural brawl. Like, you can't end it on a tag team match where no one really gives a shit. Like, it's two wrestling companies. I get it. That's that's why people bought it, I guess, is to see. They thought they maybe have some sort of closure.
But it was kind of the start of it. Like,
yeah, it was a nothing Raw main event. Like, you know,
has Vince been around? I don't think he was at the show.
He wasn't at this show, no. No, I don't think there was any Divas on this show as well.
Good.
But yeah, which is no. It's like when I watched
harm, like.
I watched a current WWE on the network there. You know, it has like Raw up to last month or whatever. Yeah. And I just stuck it on. Like, I wasn't really into it without the fans or whatever, but
it's hard.
Like, it is just like almost in the UFC now, where it's not like, it's not even a big thing made of like, you know, oh, it's the women, blah blah blah. It's just their all main event, it's all part time, of it. Like, it's all part of it. They, and it's not like they're trying to pretend that they're just as good as the men. Like, they are just as good, if not better.
If anything, they've been the best thing in the last few months, really. So like, that's the whole difference. Sasha Banks, Bayley stuff has been the fucking carrying the show. Asuka, like, and Becky Lynch has been their biggest star for the past year.
Yeah. And so
she's gone, like, but like,
that's the difference, is that they are actually as good as they're building them up to be divas. Yeah, it's not, you know? There's no bra and panties matches or you know, whipping matches or whatever the hell they had, like spanking matches.
It's a whipped cream bikini match in the gravy bowl.
It's like at SummerSlam, at the whipped cream bikini match. It's like, I'm gonna take that title from you. Like, okay,
I'm gonna kick your butt.
Oh, but
like to see that butt being kicked.
Literally, exactly what it would be like.
Yeah.
King,
I tell you what, Cole. Not for nothing, Stacey Keebler's talking some real truth right there.
Terry, I'm loving your hair. If I may say, you've taken off the headband.
You may say.
I am loving it now. Like I said, I'm considering shaving my own head myself. But
why would you shave it?
I just want something different. It's not really happening here. I know I'm not going to go long. And then if I shave it, then the beard is the main event.
You're going bald, is that what you're saying?
No, God, no. I would be worried that my scalp wouldn't be in good condition enough to rock a bald. I need a bit of hair to cover up any blemishes.
What is this?
I don't know. Why are we talking about this?
Okay, all right. So we wrap it up here, because this was a mini-sode, and we are at an hour 10.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I just, you know, who knows where the time goes? Huh?
Well, yes. Yeah. Where can they find us, Terry?
I'd ask you the same question.
I'll tell them where you can find us. It's at Put It In H Pod on Twitter and at Instagram. You can email us, putitinhpod@gmail.com. You can... Terry?
I tell you what, if you are liking this, you know, back and forth, shall we say, this witty repartee, you can find even more of this stuff over on their Patreon. We have a lovely little sister podcast going on over there called What's So Great About, where me and Andy are diving into a topic each mini-series. At the moment, we're looking at the MCU.
Yeah.
Trying to see... I can convince Andy What's So Great About it. And we've had some successes, some less successful forays, but... look, I would say if we're looking on the balance of things, we're slightly above 50%.
Yeah, I'm further ahead than I thought I'd be at this point. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
Which is, you know, but, you know you
gotta, I feel like I've drank the Kool-Aid now, though. You know what I mean? I feel like, because the first few were such a shock to the system. I was like, no, it's bollocks. Yeah. Bollocks. Bollocks? I love it. I love it. Yeah. It was, now I'm looking at it from their perspective.
There are good movies in there. There are movie shows. And you'll get access to that. You'll also get access to our bi-weekly
bonus
episodes, I guess we call them.
We have a lot more stuff like this on the Patreon, basically. The non-Simpson stuff is usually...
Oh, Simpsons, right. That's what we do.
I know. We are technically still a Simpsons podcast, despite the output being somewhat minimal, should we say, in the last
At the moment. We gave you a whole recap episode not so long ago, right?
I'd say we gave them fucking 77 episodes of Simpsons. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, you get sort of stuff. We've just recorded a podcast where Andy picked 6 "quote unquote" metal songs for me to listen to.
Speaking of some roaring successes and some roaring misses as well,
we posted, I guess, last week on it. We just gave you guys a little sneak behind the curtain of my emotional journey.
Yeah,
We've got ones on The Last Dance, that sort of that Netflix docuseries about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. We've done one on, if you like this sort of stuff, we've done one on the Royal Rumble as a concept, what our favorite Royal Rumbles are. We're just basically breaking down how it's changed over the years.
Yeah, we watched three stuff. Royal Rumbles, 2000, 2010, and 2020.
And, you know, we...
And they are wildly different.
Oh, 100%. And we've done a bunch of other stuff there as well. Like, so it's kind of, you're getting 4 episodes a month for the low extra fee of $5 dues.
Mm-hmm. Nothing, frankly.
Exactly. What are you spending on?
Where are you going? What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Sure, you can't do anything now. So it's listen to us. Yeah. Ever and ever and ever. If you can't, look, some people, listen. I know times are hard. If you can't afford the $5, do me a favor, right? Help me out in a different way. Help you help me, right?
Okay, yeah. Not sure I follow, but go on.
You can give us a rating or review on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice.
To a lesser extent, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, we need those 5 stars.
Yeah, we need the $5.
We're hungry podcasts as well. Helps grow the podcast. 5 stars, $5, all the 5s. We need them.
Just give us a bunch of 5s.
Yeah, really helps grow the podcast. Get us in the charts. Gets more earbuds
on the product. Yeah,
that's a t-shirt.
I want to make that into a t-shirt.
Yeah, big one giant ear, and it has earbuds on the product.
I like to think of us all as one big ear. And I'm going nowhere with it, Terry.
Yeah, I think that's where we wrap it up there. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. And we will see you next week on the main feed. We'll be back with, the season 7 opener, Who Shot Mr. Burns, part 2.
And if I may say already, to give you a sneak peek, Terry, I much preferred this episode than part 1. And that's all I'll say.
Well, I'll never tell. Goodbye.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.